Officer Nassan, and we're trying a little bit each day. So at the point in which Yossi ben Yoazer had a very famous statement, which in today's context has been translated to roll in the Dasa Tamid Chachamim, the Shosef Atzamah Devrayim. We talked last time how the real interpretation meant they used to literally sit on the floor, because to be great Hasinai, the Rebbe would stand or sit, and the Talmidim would sit on the floor to try to recapture that hierarchy. So you're literally in the dust of the Rebbe because you're sitting at his knees. Today it's become a paraphrase or a cliche for Kabbalah Torah and Kabbalah Rabbanim. So the second interpretation of that phrase of Yosef ben Yoazer is about two people who are similar to the Nesor of Am Yisrael, who owed a great debt to their Rebbe. So obviously Yosef ben Yoazer lived before them, but whoever wrote Avizud Nassim, which was around the time of the compilation of the Mishnah, looked back at Yosef ben Yoazer's statement and said, oh, having Misavak Mafar Raglayim, that refers to two Tanayim who had very important Rebbeim. Who were those two Tanayim? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus. So essentially, you've got Yosef ben Yoazer in a very early period saying Misavak Mafar Raglayim, and when the Mishnah is put together, Avizud Nassim, around the time of the Mishnah, this is, oh, that statement of Yosef ben Yoazer about Tamidim, who were so committed to the Rebbeim, and also much to the Rebbeim, the prototypes are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus. So now we're going to start discussing Rabbi Akiva's relationship with his Rebbeim, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus' relationship with his Rebbe. Who's your Blazis Rebbe? Remember? Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus? You know what? We've talked about this this year. Biyachon ben Zakkai. Trick question. Remember Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe? Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus. That's what makes it so delicious. Till taught Biyachon ben Zakkai. Biyachon ben Zakkai taught Rabbi Yeshua, Shah taught the Kiva, because of the name of Yudhavir, and here taught Rebbe Yudhavir. So that's the unfurling of the Masara. So this is the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. I don't know how much time we'll have. We'll just try to get a little bit piece. How did Rabbi Akiva get his start? Amar ben Arban Shanai, he was 40 years old, v'lo shana klum, and he was in Geremis. Hama chasei amin al pi ha-be'er. He was walking by the famous well. Amar, and he saw the water had made an imprint through a little cleft in the stone. Michakak evin zu, and of course he saw the water cleaving the stone. Now people know the first part of the story, they don't know the second part of the story. He makes a kal v'chomer, which is interesting, because even though he's an Amaritz, he can make a kal v'chomer. Because a kal v'chomer is a level of logic and intuition that's pretext. It's not, you don't need to know the text to make a kal v'chomer, right? Very important. Parsha Shmos, one of the first kal v'chomers in history. Who makes a kal v'chomer? Who makes the first kal v'chomer in Parsha Shmos? Anyone? Eichon Shmeini Paro, right? Moshe says, if Am Yisrael won't listen, then Eichon Shmeini Paro. So Moshe doesn't really know Karo, presumably, and he's making a kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer, which is why kal v'chomer is a little different than Yigibu Midos, because it's not really based on Xer Shav and a Binyanav, comparing Sukkim. It's more just developing inner logic, and it could be applied to any state a person makes. It's not necessarily good. So Rabbi Akiva makes a kal v'chomer. He says, Ma mayim brach poso sakasha. Water is soft, and it sculpts something which is hard. He says, Divrei Torah shakasha kibarzel. Torah, which is so difficult and so strenuous and so overwhelming, it's like iron. Alachas kama v'kama shiyichachku eslibi shubasav adam. That will shape the fleshly heart of a human being. So this is the part of the story people don't always realize, that the struggle of Torah is not incidental. Why do we struggle to study Torah? Because first of all, it's a word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're always overmatched. You're trying to study something infinite and overwhelming and sweeping, and any little part that you're able to grab is just that part of Torah that a human being can colonize and capture. But same Chokeinu B'Sur Sechel, but it's vast and it's unlimited, and it's all just relative. And even the Vilna Gaon felt like an Amaretz, I'm sure, at some point, because and it takes struggle, and it takes commitment, and it takes tenacity. And we read about it in Parshas Vayechi, Yisachar Chamor Garem, Reveis Bidem Mishpasayim, that Yisachar would study Torah compared to a donkey with thick bones, and Vayar Menucha Kitov, Vesaretz Kine Eimra, Vayet Shechmo Lamas, and you put your head down, you accept the, that's what yeshiva is about, realizing that's not, that these burdens are worth shouldering, and that's what. But the good part about it, because it's so strenuous and it's so demanding and it's so overwhelming, it shapes you. In life, the experiences are difficult, the demand sacrifice, demand investment, they shape your personality. Those experiences are external, which you just navigate with ease and with casual commitment. They don't really, they're not formative. Rabbi Akiva sensed this in the rock. He sensed that if a soft substance could shape something so harsh, certainly the most harsh, so to speak, the most overwhelming, the most demanding, fearsome experience, such as Torah, will be able to shape the human heart. That's what, for our visitors, that's what we're striving for in Yeshiva. We can give you skills, we can give you texts, we can give you a shot in the process. But how does it really percolate down to your neshama and shape your identity? Rabbi Akiva sends this, and we're not going to have time to finish them all. I have to apologize to everyone. My son's about to start reading Parsha Shemot since I've missed it the Shabbos. I want to catch him when he's a kid. So Miad Chazar Lil Motara. So Rabbi Akiva started to learn Torah. Halachu Beno V'Yashu Eitzim Lan Nikdinava. So he went to his kid's school. He went to his kid's kindergarten class because he knew nothing. Amula Rebbe Lamdeni Tar, and he asked the kindergarten teacher, was Rebbe Kiva's first Rebbe? Trick question. Rebbe Kiva's Rebbe, was it Ben Harkness and Abishu, was the kindergarten teacher. He held the blackboard while they wrote letters. Now, two things I want to point out. Number one, you can't learn if you're embarrassed. Don't ever be embarrassed, because I'll say, Ena Baishin Ramed, and you can imagine Rebbe Kiva walking into that little kindergarten in pre-1A being very mortified. Here, sometimes people ask me the question today, which is a ridiculous question, should I use art scroll? So, of course you should. You know, that same question was asked in the 11th century, should I use Rashi? Oh, you use Rashi? We know Shas so well, we don't need Rashi. Oh, you have to read the Rif. We know Gemara so well, we just read through. It's always by nature that as the Masorah evolves further downstream, people have less command, have less understanding of Torah, and there are wonderful svarim written to facilitate and to enable. So the question should be, at what stage should I use it? Can it become too much of a crutch? Okay, so that's a legitimate question, but to sense that you should be embarrassed to use art scroll, sometimes I'll use an art scroll. If there's a difficult passage, like maybe easier or Shansa in the Hebrew. So Rebbe Kiva was the first art scroll. He was not going to learn art scroll. He wanted to be learned letters. What's interesting is that nothing escaped his view. The Gemara Menachah says that Rebbe Kiva would darish the tagging on top of all the letters. So Rebbe Kiva, sometimes it takes a fresh set of eyes to see truths that people who are more trained and more part of the system can't see. So because everyone had learned already, they already skipped the letters because they learned them when they were young, and they were already up to fancy svaras of Migo and Chazaka and Baruch Shema. Rebbe Kiva started as an adult at ground level, fresh set of eyes, no preconditions, no stereotypes. He was able to see the structure of the letters and the tagim and the crowns on top, to the point that Moshe himself, Parshish Moshe, was jealous, because Moshe saw him when he went up to Shemayim, Rebbe Kiva fixing the various tagim and crowns to the letters, shot in his gets, so those are the seven letters that have crowns. He was jealous, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consoled Moshe Rabbeinu. So we'll finish in Mirtz Hashem on Sunday. Tomorrow's Rashi Shir. We'll finish this on Sunday about how he showed respect to his Rebbeim, because this is, of course, the prototype, the paradigm of someone that respects his Rebbeim. Come on, guys, in my shir. How do you respect your Rebbe? How do you respect someone?
Challenge.
He challenged him. He challenged everything his Rebbe said, and that's why he was called the Yoker Harim, because he showed his Rebbe that everything they had said was replaced elsewhere, because you care enough about their Torah, you want to understand their logic, and you want to dig beneath it. We'll see that in Mirtz Hashem on Sunday. I'm going to be returning.